我们上一个礼拜已经讲了第二次有关于进化论与创造论之间的这个思想。
Last week we already mentioned for the second time between creationism and evolution.
我们第一次我们从这个变的哲学以及这个不变的哲学来思考这些理论的基础是什么。
And the first time we were thinking about the philosophy of change and unchangeability to understand all these theories.
基督徒相信有个不变的真理是有位格的上帝。
The Christians believe that truth is unchanging, it is God in person.
基督徒也相信有变动的历史以及人的这种行动。
But Christians also believe that history is always changing and events of man are changing.
那么创造跟进化之间
Between creation and evolution,
也就是关系到自然与超自然之间的关系
relates to the natural and the supernatural.
所以呢，在希腊的哲学里面
in Greek philosophy,
他就提到了什么是自然，什么是自然背后的形上学。
They talk about what is natural and what is metaphysical.
所以就把这个 physics 跟 metaphysics 把它分开来了。
There is a segregation between physics and metaphysics.
Metaphysics 这个字是从拉丁文的两个字，它 meta， 它 physica 来谈论的。
The word metaphysics came with Latin roots.
什么叫做 ta meta ta physica？
Ta meta and ta physica.
意思就是 the world beyond the physical world.
就是在有形象的世界以外的世界，
在有形之上的无形的世界。
It is an invisible world beyond the visible world.
这是形上。世界的学问，所以叫做形上学。
The knowledge in metaphysics.
那么这个事情呢，到了十八世纪的时候
，By the time we reached the 18th century，
在康德的思想里面变成一个慢慢被抛弃、没有固定的重要性的一个思想。
In the thoughts of Kant, it becomes not too important.
所以从十八世纪到十九世纪到二十世纪。西方的文化产生了很大的变动。
From the 18th to the 20th century, there were lots of changes in Western civilization.
康德承继了理性主义跟经验主义柔合之后，用他的批判主义来否定两个主义的绝对性。
Kant had inherited a rationalism and experientialism.
Empiricism,
and then he has an idea of critique among the two.
所以呢，就结束了这个两个思想的绝对性。
And so he ended the era that considered both to be absolute.
所以研究近代哲学，你不明白康德，等于你不明白哲学。
When you study philosophy, you have to study Immanuel Kant, or you won't understand philosophy.
康德的思想隐藏一个否定绝对性的种子在里面。
His thought seems to have the seed that deny absolute.
至少认为对绝对，我们几乎是不可知的。
At least he seemed to think that we cannot understand what absolute means.
这样就为不可知论开了先河。
And so he paved the way for the agnostic to come.
那为什么呢？这个康德有这种的这个隐藏着的未来的果效会产生出来呢？
Why do we say that the theories of Kant will bring this?
因为康德说呢，我们的理性怎么想、怎么分析，也不能够到另外一个层次，叫做本体界。
Kant said that no matter how hard we try to reason, we cannot go into the sphere of the source.
所以这个就叫做呢 noumenal world.
The noumenal world.
本体界就是我们现在只能从现象知道，现象推敲，从现象界去分析，我们的知的范围就停在这里。
He said that the way we reason is based on physical phenomena, we can only understand and stop right here.
但在这个现象界范围之外的本体界，我们就没有办法去真正去了解。
But the numeral world, which is above the physical world, we cannot understand.
其实这个跟这个柏拉图的唯心论有一些相同的地方。
This is similar with the sense of idealism by Plato.
跟佛教的思想也有一些相同的地方。
And also similar to Buddhism.
所以佛教里面有一个字叫做如，如意的如，如果的如。
In Buddhism, there is a word called 如。
你看见一个东西，说我见其物。
When you look at an object, you say, I can see it.
但是物如就不是这个东西了。
But the essence of the object is not there.
物如就是物的本体。
when you use the word 物如, it means the very essence of the object.
这个无不过是那个物如的一个现象的表达而已。
What you are looking at is just a manifestation of its essence.
所以康德有一部分的思想跟佛教是差不多一样。
Part of the thoughts of Kant is similar to Buddhism.
跟柏拉图的唯心论也差不多一样。
An idealism of Plato.
柏拉图说的，我们看见一大堆的树，千千万万棵的树。
Plato said, when you look at a forest with numerous trees,
但是每一棵树都是不一样的。
But every single tree is different.
形状不一样。
The shape is different.
大小不一样。
The size is different.
颜色也不大一样。
The color differs a little bit. 但
为什么你一看你就知道这个叫做树呢？
But once you look at it, you know it's a tree.
因为万万万棵树中间有一个树的本质，好像印证了这些现象，所以我们一看就知道一定有树，这个就是一棵树，这样就表达出来了。
Because the essence of trees is to be found among millions of trees, so whenever you see a tree, you know it's a tree.
我们可以画圆圈画几万个。
You can draw thousands of circles.
但你用放大镜看的时候，你看见没有一个是真正圆的，一定有一点点、一点点、一点点不圆的地方。
But when you magnify your circle, you will see that not all is completely round.
但是圆这个东西存在吗？
But does roundness exist?
如果圆是存在的，这个 perfect circle exists, 为什么我不能画一个 perfect circle 出来呢？
If a perfect circle exists, why can't I draw it out?
所以圆这个东西是在本体界，不大成全的，有一点点毛病的圆圈是在现象界里面。
And therefore, the perfect circle is in the ideal, but the actual circle is not too perfect.
照样，我们说你做人怎么可以这样？你回答他应当怎么样？
In the same manner, when we scold someone, how can you behave in this way? He will ask you, then what should I behave?
这个人真的不像样，他说应当像怎样才叫做人。
And you look at the person and say, you're not like a human being. The other person will say, what sort of human
being should I be? 所以你发现了所谓人一定要一个最基本、最完美的原本的人性。才使一个人被称作是人。
And therefore, for a person to be a human being, there must be some sort of the essence of a human being.
那么原本的那完美纯净的人性到底在哪里？柏拉图说世界上没有。
And Plato said, we will not know where is this ideal humanity.
那个完美的人性不会存在有限的世界里面。
Because this perfect humanity cannot exist in the physical world.
它存在在你心里面。
He will exist in your heart.
存在在你理念中间。
Or within you.
所以在我们理念里面有一个最完美的那个东西是真正的存在，这些不过是影子。
His concept is that deep inside us there's a real existence and everything else are but a shadow.
所以那个东西在希腊文叫做 eidos.
And in Greek it's called eidos.
Eidos 到英文变成 idea.
In English, it's idea.
So you are not up to my idea.
所以你不是我所想象的那么好。
你没有达到我理想中那个程度。
You didn't reach my idea.
所以我就用那个理想中间的完美作为标准来批评你。
And so I will criticize you based on my idea of what's ideal.
来攻击你。
To attack you.
我说你做牧师不应该这样。
Because I say a pastor should not do this.
我们做老师不应该这样。
A lecturer shouldn't do this.
做总统不应该这样。
The president shouldn't do this.
你做爸爸的你不像样。
A father should behave better.
当你讲这些话的时候。
When you say things like this.
你甚至用个 idos 的这个理念的完美作为标准来衡量批判所有理论的不完美的。
Your standard reference is idos, something that in your ideal.
但如果你自己要达到你理想中间的完美，你自己更不像样。
But you yourself will not reach the ideal.
所以呢，我们只在现象中间过一个不完美的现象界的生活。
And so we are living an imperfect life in an imperfect physical world.
如果那现象界背后没有一个完美的本体的话，
But if there is no perfect ideal behind all this physical world,
我们连谈话的基础共同点都没有了。
There is not even a basis of conversation.
当我们谈人性的时候，
When we talk about humanity,
我们根本不是讲这个人，不是讲那个人。
We are not talking about this individual or the other one.
我们讲那人的本性中间那个最基本的完美的本质应当是怎么样。
We are talking about how the fundamental humanity should be like.
柏拉图的唯心论，
The idealism of Plato,
到了康德的时候，
When he reached Immanuel Kant,
变成德国的唯心论，
it becomes a German ideal.
那么到了佛教的思想比相比的时候，
When you compare it with Buddhist thought,
就有一个物如的本性存在着。
And the idea is therefore there is a essence.
所以康德就用一个德国的文字来表达这一点。
And Kant expressed it in a German term.
就德文叫做 Ding an sich.
in German is Ding an sich.
Ding an sich 什么意思呢？
What does this mean?
就是 the thing in itself.
就是那一个东西本身。
那个东西你看见的是一个形体。
You are looking at physical object.
这个东西的本性里面 in itself 是那个物如，而不是这个物的这个现象。
But you should look at the essence in the object.
所以讲佛教的思想、康德的思想跟这个柏拉图的唯心论都有一些基本相同的地方。
So you see similarity between Buddhist thoughts, Kant's thought, and Plato's thought.
康德就把知识分成两个阶层。
Kant considered knowledge to be in two eras.
一个阶层，我们知其在而不知其所以会这样。
The first sphere is a physical phenomena without understanding what's behind it.
我们知其然而不知其所以然的，那个就在本体界里面。
He says that we can understand the physical phenomena, but we may not know what's behind it.
我们现在用我们的理性所能沟通、所能明白、所能研讨的事物，都在现象界里面的范围。
The phenomena world is a world where we can understand using our reason and observe.
但我们的理性功能知道有另外一些东西，但是又不知道怎么去了解它，所以知自己是不知，知这是不可知，而知其存而不知其为什么如何存，这个就叫做本体界的东西。
But the reason understands that there's something that he cannot reach, although he knows it's there, but he cannot understand what's the detail.
康德的本体界里面只有三个东西。
But in this world where the reason cannot reach, there's only three things.
所以这个就是他跟柏拉图跟佛教不同的地方。
This is where they differ from Plato and Buddhism.
那个三个东西是什么呢？
What are these three items?
第一就是上帝。
The first one would be God.
第二就是不朽。
The second one is incorruptibility.
第三个就是自由。
The third one is freedom.
所以上帝是在本体界里面的。
God is in the numeral world.
你怎么想也没办法想出他到底是怎样的，因为
you cannot figure out him out completely.
不朽是永恒的。
But incorruptibility is eternal.
不会在物质界里面跟着时代的进展而慢慢腐朽，慢慢毁坏。
It will not decay like the rest of the physical world.
所以这个东西我们想不通的。
And we cannot understand this.
第三就是真正的灵魂里面的自由。
The third one is true freedom in the spirit.
这个东西我们没办法了解的。
Again, something we cannot understand.
那么从这里推展下去的。
If we extend our thought,
就是凡是无限的东西都是本体的。
Everything that is eternal or infinite belongs to the
world. 我不知道你小的时候有没有想过，飞机一直飞飞飞飞飞到最后的时候，会不会碰到一个墙壁就停在那里？
When you are young, I don't know whether you imagine how a plane would get stopped when it hit.
所以这个大自然有墙壁做界限的话，
if nature is constrained by walls,
那么火箭到那边就停了，然后再回来，再去，再回来，
will be stopped by this wall and have to come back.
那我就很想，那个墙壁开一个洞去偷看外面有什么东西。
And I imagine what is beyond the hole, the wall.
如果这个火箭可以穿过那道再飞的话，
if the rocket can go by a hole on the wall,
那么它飞的时候又有另外一个墙壁吗？
Does that mean there's going to be another wall?
第三层天、第五天的界限。
Maybe it's constrained by the third or the fifth
heaven. 界限再碰一个洞，它再飞，那么有没有界限呢？
The question is there a limit?
这次 Stephen Hawking 到香港到北京去。
The scientist Stephen Hawking went to Hong Kong and Beijing.
他表示时间是没有限制的。
He said that time has no constraint.
他也表示空间是没有限制的。
And space is not constrained.
这样说来就不需要有个开始，也不需要有个结束。
In this manner, there ought not to be a beginning or an end.
你可以想象红移现象 red shift phenomena.
The red shift phenomena.
这个是宇宙界发现。这个物质移动之后存下来的不同的颜色叫做红移现象。
Red shift is an astronomical phenomenon where things move.
这表示就宇宙在膨胀膨胀膨胀的中间。
The theory is that the universe is always expanding.
宇宙膨胀膨胀到什么时候会不会再收缩回来呢？
The question is will it expand and then suddenly contract?
再收缩回来就变成一个最小的点，有大爆炸又再膨胀出来。
And the theory says that you will contract to become a small dot and then a big bang will appear again.
那么这个无限的无限，这个就是表示自由的无限性。
This represents the freedom of infiniteness.
所以康德的哲学呢，
in the philosophy of Kant,
就为不可知论奠了一个基础。
He started to give a foundation to the agnostic.
康德的哲学，
the philosophy of Kant,
告诉我们理性是有限度的。
Tells us that our reasoning power is limited.
康德的哲学，
the philosophy of Kant,
告诉有一些事我们只能谦卑说我不知道。
tell us that there are some things we have to admit we do not know in humility.
Kant 的哲学,
the philosophy of Kant,
也告诉我们现象界以外的东西我们不必去探讨。
Tell us that we need not investigate what is beyond the phenomenon.
这就是形上学没落的开始。
This is where metaphysics begin to decline.
那么我们基督徒有一个很特别的归正的思想。
Christians have a very special reformed thought.
这里把自然的被造跟超自然的创造者本质做了一个很大的区别。
It gives a great segregation between the created world and the creator.
所以我们能知的，神就叫我们去寻找出来。
Things that we can know, God will allow us to seek.
我们不能知的，神就自己启示出来。
Things that we cannot know, God will reveal it to us.
讲基督教不需要沦落，成为不可知论者。
Therefore, Christianity will not become agnostic.
基督教在有限界之上，知道有无限的存有本体。
The Christian know that beyond the physical world there is an infinite entity and that's God.
归正神就把这些融合起来，产生了一个普遍启示跟特殊启示的分界。
And so Reformed theology proposes that there is a general revelation and a specific revelation.
普遍启示是人理性的一个责任，去探讨、去研究、去明白上帝的创造。
In general revelation, it is our responsibility to discover, to understand the creation of God.
超普遍启示的特殊启示是上帝凭着他的主权，愿意把他的存有、他的本性、他的计划以及他对人类的救赎告诉我们的一个恩典。
But in special revelation, it is the grace of God to reveal to us His plan, His salvation for humanity.
就是单单的知识论的可能的享受上。
In the area where we enjoy knowledge,
只有基督徒是称为最蒙恩的人了。We
say that the Christian is most blessed.
那么当你把这个分清楚了以后,
When you are clear about this,
你就不会像那些不懂归正神学的人那样模糊,那样不负责任,也不知道要怎样去处理知识论的问题。
You will not be confused like those who do not know the Reformed theology.
所以这个角度来看, 连康德, 柏拉图都是很可怜的人。
From this angle, even Kant and Plato were sad people.
那么谈到达尔文的思想的时候,
When we look at the thoughts of Charles Darwin,
他就没有这种的分界, 没有这种的智慧, 所以他乱了。
Because he did not have such a knowledge, he was confused.
为什么呢?
Why?
因为他试探钻研到自然界里面的生物学的范围。
He wanted to understand biology within nature.
但他又很模糊的不知怎么样处理这个来源，就否定创造是一切的动物存在的真正的基础。
But because he did not know the source, he denied that creation is possible.
他就变成一个混乱，一定要明白被造界，一定要否定创造主。
He wanted to understand the created world, but at the same time deny the creator.
一方面要知道受造的自然，一方面要在自然产生自圆其说的方法论来抵挡一个造化论。
On the one hand, he wanted to understand nature. He also wanted to give it an excuse to deny the creator.
所以他一方面研究生物学,
so while he studied biology,
一方面判断这个生物是自我进化成功, 不需要创造主继续的干涉。
On the other hand, he wanted biology to be natural and not a
intervened by the people. 没有可能把他的学问当作纯科学来站在学术的地位上。
In the end, his theory cannot be considered as pure science.
现在基督徒没有归正神学的这种导向, 也不知道这样分界, 你就落在欺骗的中间。
Without Reformed theology, you yourself will be deceived.
进化论绝对不是纯科学。
The theory of evolution is not pure science.
进化论的范围是受造界。
Because it studies the created world.
进化论要知道的是现象界。
It wants to know the phenomena.
进化论要研究的是有现象的这个有限界。
It studies the finite world.
但是进化论的科学里面用了非科学的方法论，假设、猜测、如果。 作为他理论的基础是完全不科学的。
And it's unscientific because the theory uses a lot of assumption and hypotheses.
The methodology wise, evolution is totally non-scientific. 它是绝对非科学的。
Absolutely not scientific.
因为它的方法论根本不是用科学的方法。
The methods were not scientific methods.
是用罪人犯罪以后的理性猜测 假设的方法来立他的理论。
The methods is based on the fallen reason of a sinner.
所以基督徒不必害怕，好像我们一反对进化论就是反动分子。
Christians ought not to be worried that we are against the theory of evolution.
我们一不接受进化论，我们就是没有跟现在时代的潮流走。
As if if we do not accept this, we are not scientific and not following the time.
进化论的本身是一个非科学的科学范围里面的一种知识，是假知识。
And the problem is that the theory of evolution is in itself a false knowledge.
所以上个礼拜我对你们说，他用我们可以猜想，假如，比如说，如果，设想。这一类的词句一共有1100多次，在这一本这个物种起源300多面的书里面。
And I told you last week that in the book Origin of Species, the word if, assume, hypothesis appear more than 1000 times.
像平均起来，每一面都要有3次到4次讲。如果、假如、可能，我们可以猜想，这根本不是科学的东西。
So on the average, every single page of the 300 over pages will contain about 4 different assumptions.
那么当那假设是进化论的方法使世界万有变成现在的现象。
When he first assumed that all things come because of evolution,
他到结束的时候没有办法解决到底有没有创造主的问题。
In the end, he cannot solve the problem whether there is a creator God.
所以达文的这个物种起源最后一面、最后一行还是用我们可以想象造物主用他的气息吹进最简单的生命，产生了这个演化，直到今天变成这样雄伟的宇宙，这样超越的人类，这个想象本身就是何等庄严的一件事情。
And Charles Darwin in his conclusion of the book says that we can indeed suggest that the creator has breath, give his breath to the simplest life form that evolved into the complexity of humankind.
所以这样他的书的结束是告诉我们物种的起源是从上帝来的。
And so the conclusion itself tells us that the origin of species is from God.
上帝是真正赐下生命。
That he has given life.
他是用气息把生命吹进去的。
By his breath.
然后他再假设从简单变成复杂的进化是物竞天存，使强者可以存下来。The survival of fitness, the natural selection, the theory.
And then he assumed that from that first creation, everything evolved with the survival of fittest and natural selection.
他有没有交代清楚呢？
Did he give a clear answer?
他没有交代清楚。
He did not.
他把他的模糊。
He was vague.
把他的混乱。
He's confused.
把他办法最后没有办法否定有创造主，有生命的源头，一定要讲出来。
In the end, he has to admit that there must be a maker somewhere.
这我已经跟你们谈了。
I have mentioned this.
Wallace 相信在不存在与存在之间。
Wallace believed that between existing and non-existing,
在存在与生命之间，
between existence and life,
在生命与人之间，
between life and man,
有三大鸿沟，人类无法造桥在其间。
There exist three great gaps that you cannot go across.
所以达文自己遇到这个困难，他不得不承认有上帝的存在。
So Charles Darwin cannot but admit that God exists.
前几天我在台湾的书店又看到一个新翻一本的物种起源。
A few days ago in Taiwan, I saw a new translation of the Origin of Species.
我把最后面翻起来再看的时候，
When I looked at the last page again,
他们把上帝生命气息的供应的这句话被他删改了。
The original sentence about how God breathed life has been deleted.
所以给你感觉到，甚至不需要上帝用吹气的办法，生命就会存在在世界上。
And that you will assume that God would not even need to create the first life.
所以我们看任何一本书，
When we read a book,
你尽可能看原来的作者第一次是怎么写的。
What you should do is to try to find the original text.
当你看翻译本的时候，
When you look at the translation,
你要先看翻译的人他的可信度到什么地方。
You must consider the credibility of the translator.
他的动机是什么？
And his motive.
有一次我看见有一本书在台湾翻译的，我当然不是要在这里特别侮辱台湾，我是说那一两个人就是了。
Once I read a book that's translated in Taiwan.
这本书是1920年全世界轰动的哲学教科书，变成最销路最大的 bestseller， 这个叫做 The Story of the Philosophy。
It is a book, The Story of the Philosophy, published in 1920.
这本书呢是 Will Durant 所写的，
written by Will Durant。
里面提到基督教的人生观的一段的时候，
There is a passage about Christianity.
他就讲了保罗所讲的一句话。
He talked about what Paul said.
那我看中文版翻译什么，你知道吗
？The Chinese translation says.
他说圣保罗说
，Saint Paul says.
结婚总比被火烧死更好。
It's better to get married than to be burned to death.
我想怎么读经读了几十年，从来没有看到这句话。
But I've never seen this in the Bible before.
那我去查到了原文的时候
，When I look at the original text,
原来他是引用保罗那句话，他说呢。这个与其一火攻心，不如嫁娶为妙，是这样讲的。
Paul says it's better to get married than to burn in lust.
是他们说被情欲焚烧很不好，宁可结婚，免得一天到晚想着半死。与其一火攻心，不如嫁娶为妙。他说呢，结婚总比被火烧死还更好一点。
And the translator says it's better to get married than to be burned to death.
还有另外一个人翻译耶稣基督的 Three Offices of Jesus 的时候。
Another person translated the three offices of Jesus.
耶稣有三个办公室。
He said Jesus had three working offices.
In office 就是办公室嘛。
Because office is the official office.
耶稣有三个 office 是多数的吗？所以耶稣有三个办公室，一条在 Orchard Road， 一条在庆利路，还有一条在什么地方？北港或者什么地方
？And people say Jesus had three physical offices.
其实那个 office 耶稣的三大职分。就是先知、君王还有祭司，变成耶稣三个办公室。
But the three offices refers to him as the king, the priest, and the prophet.
我想这些翻译的人呢
，all these translators
最大可输。
They are all not good enough.
使人的被误导，不认识真正的真理。
The problem is that they will misguide other people.
所以我相信，在大卫的心灵中间有信仰以及他研究的结论。之间的心理的冲突。
I do believe that there must be a conflict within Charles Darwin about his own faith and his theories.
你不要忘记马克思、达尔文这几个最重要的被非基督徒利用来攻击基督教的哲学名人，包括黑格尔等等，都是曾经读过神学的人。
Do not forget that people like Karl Marx, Charles Darwin, and Hegel, they all studied theology before.
甚至连尼采也是读过神学的人。现在呢？在泥土下面给人家踩，叫做尼采。
Including Nietzsche, he did study theology before.
好，我继续讲下去了。
I will carry on.
所以大卫年老的时候
，When Charles Darwin was old,
他说：“直到如今
，He said till now,
我没有沦落成了一个无神论的人。
I have not become a atheist.
我没有变成一个不相信上帝存在的人。
I did not become a person who would not believe in God.
有人就从这些的观念试试看，给他做一些呢，这个汇合，给他做一些。”这个汇通转变，让他的这个进化论跟基督教的信仰做一些和平的工作。
And so some people attempted to bring a harmony between the theory and Christianity.
这个叫做 theistic evolution.
And they have a proposal called theistic evolution.
什么叫做 theistic evolution?
What does this mean?
就是有上帝的进化论。
It is an evolution that contains God.
有上帝的进化论到底是什么意思
？What does this actually imply?
就是上帝是创造了原先的生命。
The theory is that God created the first life.
上帝没有直接造这么多种的生命。
But he did not create the subsequent life.
上帝造了原先的生命以后，上帝就继续不断一步一步演进、参与，使万有变化。变成今天这样的世界。
After he created the first life, he allowed it to evolve into the life forms today.
这个叫有上帝的进化论。
This is called theistic evolution.
这个理论到底对不对呢
？Is this theory correct?
还有许多可以讨论的事情。
There are still many things to discuss.
很遗憾的事情
，But sadly,
就是当进化论在历史上第一次出现成为一个系统的学问的时候
，When the theory of evolution become part of systematic studies,
基督教的领袖们。完全在沉睡中间，没有提防，也没有预备心，怎样回应
？Christian leaders were all ignorant and sleeping, and they did not respond.
所以，《物种起源》这本书印出来，面世卖到了一年的时间。
One year after The Origin of Species was published,
最先反应的是共产党的创始人马克思。
The first response came from the founder of communism, Karl Marx.
教会除了束手无策
，whereas the church could not figure out what to do.
没有真正的学问可以回应这本书以外
，they did not have true knowledge to respond.
他们只懂得抓住传统，抓住权威，随便污蔑，随便讥笑进化论的作者。
All they did was to grab hold of their tradition and their power and criticize the altar.
所以这就产生历史上第一次人对基督教小人的作为，对基督教下载心肠不能容纳新教书的这种态度的轻看跟藐视。
And this became a situation where people despised the methods of the church leaders back then.
后来还有一个教会的领袖，一个圣公会的主教，公然挑战进化论的学者，与他一同辩论，所讲的话语、所用的名词是极其蔑视之能事。
And the Anglican bishop actually challenged the theory of evolution scientists into a debate, but he used very disrespectful language.
其中有一句话又知道。给人家很看不起。
And some of the words are so immature that people look down on him.
身为一个教会的大主教，
As a great bishop,
在辩论会中间，如果你们真的相信进化论，为什么你后面没有尾巴？
They ask the scientists, if you believe in the evolution, why do you not spot a tail?
这完全不是学者的风度。
This is not what an academic debate is all about.
在英文世界里面，
So in the English speaking world,
就产生了一个仇视教会的运动。
All of a sudden, there was a movement against the church.
偏袒科学家被轻看的这种身份。
To defend the scientists for being despised by the church.
我个人把整个近代历史中间两次科学界的大革命，把它摆列起来做一个比较。
When I make a comparison between the two great scientific revolutions,
哥白尼的地动学跟这个太阳为中心的理论，怎样产生了整个天文界。的科学性的革命。
The first revolution was the one in astronomy by Copernicus.
另外一个道文所提到的万物是借着物竞天存自然淘汰的学说的方法而演进，不需要上帝每件事上的干预。
The second one is Charles Darwin's idea of natural evolution without God.
上个礼拜我有没有提到这两件事情？有吗？
有，
已经提过了。
We have mentioned this.
在第一次的革命性的科学理论里面
，In the first revolution，
是教会站在逼迫科学家的错误的态度上。
The church made a mistake and persecuted the scientists.、
到了第二次的时候呢
？But by the second revolution，
教会根本不够力量来应战。
The church was too weak to fight.
所以呢，除了讥笑以外，乘着自己的特殊的身份的骄傲傲慢。维持了一段的时间。
The only thing they could do is in arrogance they were insult and they were despised.
结果慢慢就被假的科学所反过来欺负我们，来轻看我们。
But after a while, these false signs turn around and despise and bully us.
所以这两次的革命
，these two revolutions，
真的被逼迫。
The first persecution.
第二次
，the second one，
假的逼迫真的。
The false one persecuted the real one.
真的没办法应付。
And the real one could not know what to do.
所以我们站在一个挨骂挨打的地步里面。
And so we are in a completely defenseless position.
从1859年直到现在这257年里面
，from 1859 to now，
247年里面
，264 years，
我们看见了有许多的事实证明出来，进化论的理论基础本身不是科学的。
We see that the foundation of the theory is not scientific.
所以我盼望基督徒应当产生一些真有分量、真正持守真理原则的学者，为信仰来征战。
I pray that Christianity will produce academics that will defend the faith.
当达文写了这本书以后
，When Charles Darwin wrote this book，
就被放在大英博物馆的图书馆里面。
It was placed in the British Library.
不到一年里面，马克思就看完了这本书。
Within a year, Karl Marx read the book.
马上他心中得到很大的鼓励。
And he was greatly encouraged.
他认为他的理论。经济学的理论现在找到了生物学跟历史上的支持了。
He felt that his theory in economics had found support from biology.
他可以大大发扬他的新的学说。
And then he can manifest his theories.
马克思是世界历史中间有关于经济学的理论最精密的思想家之一。
Karl Marx was one of the most brilliant thinkers in economics.
那么他的经济学的理论不是单单在商业的用途上面。
His theory was not to be used only commercially.
因为他要先定位整个世界历史，人类是怎么发展，最后才应当进到这一个所谓的无产阶级 专制的共产主义的这个社会里面。
Because he wanted to understand how humanity came about before he would propose communism.
一定他也思想了一言历史发展观的方法论的问题。
So he must understand the methodology about human progression.
这个是 monistic historical development. 这一言论的历史怎么发展？
How does this monistic idea came from?
发展中间所用的方法是什么方法？
What are the methods used?
那么他的宇宙观就用几个理论结合起来了。
And his theory of the whole cosmos came from various
theories. 第一个理论就是这个宇宙是一个物质的宇宙，不是唯心论的宇宙。
The first one is that the world is purely materialistic.
所以他就从霍尔巴的机械唯物论建立了他的宇宙观。
And his theory is based on Hallmark's idea.
Hallmark's mechanical materialism， 那么在接受了历史发展的这个正反合的这个叫做 dialectical method，
and then the dialectical method，
这个叫做辩证法，而辩证法呢，在古希腊里面曾经出现了。
This method has appeared in ancient Greek。
到了马克思以前，就是康德的哲学。以后 Fichte 跟 Schelling 把它发扬过来。
And after Kant, Fichte and Schelling has manifested this.
在 Schelling 的哲学里面，
In the theory of Schelling，
人类历史第一次用这三个字在一起，就是 thesis, antithesis and synthesis。
The three words is thesis, antithesis
and
synthesis。
反论、合论。好，我再讲一次，正论、反论、合论，这个人的历史像钟摆左右摆动一样。
The idea is that human history swings like a pendulum.
所以当一个思想出现的时候，
When a new thought emerges，
一定产生一个相反的思想。
Another opposing thought will come.
相反的思想跟原来的思想冲突的结果，
The result of the two coming together，
就产生了一个新的综合论的思想来做结论，
Will result in a synthesis of ideas.
所以正论会引起反论，
And so a thesis will bring about antithesis.
正论反论冲击的结果产生综合论。
And the conflict will give us synthesis.
而积极的综合论变成第二轮的争论。
And the synthesis will become a thesis again.
第二轮的争论一定带来第二轮的反论。
It will bring the second round of antithesis.
第二轮的反论一定产生第二轮产生出来的第二轮的综合论。
And then the second round of synthesis will appear.
第二轮的综合论一定变成第三轮的争论。
The second synthesis will become the third thesis.
而历史就是这样发展，这样发展，这样发展。
And he says that history moves like this.
比如说呢，一百年前几乎没有男人剪短头发的。
For example, 100 years ago, no man would sport short hair.
原来男人剪短头发要把胡须剃光光，这不过是20世纪初期的事情才有的。
And this idea of man cutting a head and shaving himself comes from 20th century.
为了六七十年里，很多青年的孩子为什么要像爸爸一样？我反抗，故意要留长头发。你说你像女人，他说你才不像男人。
Then after a while, the young people start to have long hair.
所以呢，长发变成正论反论。
So from here, you can see a thesis and antithesis.
正论反论就变成你现在今天头发不长不短的综合论。
And in the end, today your hair is somewhere in between.
那你的综合论又变成新一轮的正论。
Then you will become a new thesis.
这个方法论叫做历史上的辩证学。
And this is the dialectical method in history.
这个 dialectic 这个字。
The word dialectic.
在古希腊用过了。
Has been used in ancient Greek.
就在这个德国的唯心论里面复兴起来了。
And it was revived in the German ideas.
把这个理论真正作为正当的一个学术性的历史研究的方法论的真正的大学者叫做赫格尔。
And the person that really proposed this idea and used it was Hegel.
所以赫格尔都用唯心的辩证法。
And Hegel used the dialectic methods in
来解释历史
to explain history.
但赫格尔有很多的学生，其中一个学生叫做马克思。
He had many students, one of which was Karl Marx.
这个马克思他接受唯物论，不接受赫格尔的进化论。
He accepted the idea of materialism.
但是他又相信辩证法才是真正解释历史的方法论。
But he also accepted the dialectic method.
所以呢，马克思就把这两个勉强背起来。
And Karl Marx tried to force the two theories together.
所以他就接受了辩证唯物论。
And so he accepted the dialectic materialism.
中国大陆来的请举手。
Those from mainland China, you may raise your hand.
你一定比别人更明白我在讲什么。
Surely you understand this more than other people.
除非你们年纪轻从来不研究哲学的人。
Unless you are too young to study philosophy.
辩证唯物论。
And so the dialectic method
就是把机械唯物论的宇宙观加上了辩证法的历史方法论配合起来，变成马克思的社会历史发展观。
It's a combination of the mechanical materialism and the dialectic method to become Karl Marx's theory.
马克思还要解释一个事情。
And then he had to explain something else.
就是从奴隶制度的时代变成封建制度时代，和变成资本主义制度时代，而就变成这个社会制度，到最后变成共产主义的时代。这些变化的真正的那个基本的钥匙是什么呢？
He wanted to define the key that moves humanity from slavery all the way to communism.
所以他不从文化论去看。
He did not study this from civilization.
他从经济学去看。
But from economics.
所以结果他就认为资本或者钱就决定了整个世界历史会怎么样发展。
He decided that money will decide all the directions.
所以他写的书叫做《资本论》。
And so he wrote a book called Capitalism.
这样的马克思把社会学、人类学、历史学、方法论、哲学、宇宙观揉成一个整个的大系统，所以他是很大的思想家。
And so Karl Marx was a great thinker that combined many different schools of thought together.
不过他没有办法逃离他基本上被唯物的哲学观念所捆绑的这个下载性。
But he cannot escape from the narrowness of materialism.
他又盼望他这个理论可以推翻赫格尔，成为代替赫格尔全世界唯一解释人类前途的先知性的哲学思想。
But he wanted to propose a prophetic philosophy that would take the philosophy of Hegel.
这马克思的雄心大志是实实在在非常伟大的。
He was a person with great ambition.
他有一句话我认为很重要。
There is a statement from him that was important.
哲学不应当是课堂里面研究的一种学术。
He said that philosophy ought not to be a lesson learned in the classroom.
他说哲学应当成立产生对整个历史改变的一个动力。
He said that philosophy should be the power that will change history.
这种思想跟这个尼采的思想有相同的地方。
And this thought is similar to that of Nietzsche.
尼采对意志权力是很强调的。
And Nietzsche placed great emphasis on the will.
所以后来凡是走共产主义的路线的人，一定很注重权威，注重改变，注重带动历史，结果都失败。
And all communists will place great emphasis on the will to change history, but they all fail.
有关于这一点，我今天不谈了。
I will not go into detail.
我只告诉你那个时候有这样的一个动向。
What I'm telling you is that at that time there were all these thinking processes.
赫格尔不过把方法论用辩证解释出来。
Hegel explained methods by dialectic methods.
那赫格尔也是非常自高自大的人。
He was an arrogant person.
所以他认为历史上最伟大的、最高的层次的学问就是哲学。而哲学家里面最伟大的哲学就是我的哲学，你看他好意思这么讲。
And he said that he is the greatest of all philosophers, and philosophy is the greatest of all knowledge.
言下之意
，In other words，
整个历史进展中间思想的最高峰、最大的真理系统，就是赫格尔自己的系统。
Hegel himself represents the greatest of all systems.
甚至他敢说，所有的基督教历史的神学家、基督教会里面所有的领袖。基督教所有的教父跟教义的解释者，没有一个真的明白什么叫做三位一体，只有他明白。
He said that he is the only one that understands what the Trinity means more than all theologians or church leaders ever.
什么叫做三一论
？What does Trinity
mean? 上帝就是正论，是神；耶稣就是反论，是人。神人合起来变成圣灵，这个叫做综合论。
The idea is the Father is the thesis, the Son is the antithesis, and the Holy Spirit is the synthesis.
哇，这个人自信过人了。
So this person was greatly confident of himself.
傲慢过人
，and too arrogant.
虽然我承认他有一些骄傲的本钱，比那些没有本钱越骄傲的人更好意思。
But I think that he was very intelligent.
因为他实在是有本钱可骄傲的。
Indeed, he could be arrogant.
但是他上了自己的当了。
But he fell into his own trap.
因为他是一个争论出来一定产生反论，所以他还没有死就四个反论出来了。
But he himself had four oppositions.